The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord, as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, take note, these are things that must be hereafter, after now. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, inside like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Remember, these are things that will be hereafter. Verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings round about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down. Did you get that, verse 9 and 10? When those beasts, verse 9 again, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and the power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hallelujah. So there is something about those 4 beasts that instigates worship from the 24 elders. It is when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, then the 24 elders would fall down and begin to worship him. So there is something about the 4 beasts that is a very clear reflection of him that sits on the throne. It means that these 4 beasts are the ones who see he that sits on the throne, purest among all that stay around the throne. So they use, the others use their eyes to mirror the person that is on the throne. So when the four beasts worship he that is on the throne, the others that take a cue, it is time to worship him. Did you get what I said now? There's something about those four beasts. I love that they are called beasts. They are called beasts. There's something about four of them that see he that is on the throne clearest among the whole arrangement around the throne. So when it's they stand and they see, there's a way they see. There's a way they see. Go back to verse 7 and let's look at the four beasts again. And the first beast was like a lion. Very interesting. Very, very significant. A lion. A lion is who the lamb is when he rules from his throne. He's called the lion of the tribe of Judah. It's who the lamb is. When he's ascending, he's who? No. When is what? When he's ascending from the earth, you saw a lamb. Am I right? So who sat upon the throne is lamb as it had been slain. Who did John see at Jordan? The lamb of God. Are you getting me? To that journey, you see that journey was lambic. So, but the person you are seeing on the throne is a tronic entity showing an expression from throne downward. Then there is another beast on the throne. It's called a calf or an ox. The calf is what? An ox. This calf or an ox typifies the servant nature of the throne. The servant nature. The servant nature. All of them bear service in dimensions. Okay? The third one is what? A face of a man. Had the face of a man. So there's a man on the throne. Are you getting me? Then the fourth one is as an eagle. So when you get to the throne, you are going to meet Jesus typifying or showing forth these four sides of creation. You find him as a lion. You find him as a servant or as an ox. You find him as a man. He's called the man, Christ Jesus. You also find him as an eagle. I like it, flying eagle. He's also always above. He soars above the storm, above the noise. He's always there. Are you getting me? It's like as a flying eagle. Amen. Not eagle that is, oh goodness. Not eagle that is perching. When you see an eagle standing, there's a gaze it has. When you see an eagle flying, there's a gaze it has. Do you understand me? There's a strength it displays when it's flying that it does not display when it is resting. So they saw the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, not just like an eagle. It will be confusing us. Is the eagle flying? Is it just resting? No, it's like a flying eagle. So you see, all of them are being shown in their glory and true essence of personality. Do you get what I'm trying to say? They are being shown in their glory. So the flying eagle shows you that is the purest expression of the glory of the eagle, is in its flying state. Do you get the picture? Great. Then, of these four expressions or sides that can be possibly embodied, Jesus chose to embody one. Follow my thoughts. If Jesus embodied a particular one, I feel the church should pay attention to that one. The church should pay attention to that one. He chose to embody that ox or the servant. The servant. So Philippians, run me there quickly. Chapter 2, verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, so he chose, of no reputation. Of no reputation is describing a servant. So on the throne, there is a servant. Brother, on the throne, there is what? A servant. Jesus could have come as a lion. He could have come as a flying eagle, but he chose to come as a servant. So though he wore the body of a man, he typified a servant. So he said, though I be your Lord and Savior, you call me master and you are right, but I wash your feet. I wash your feet. Because in the order of the kingdom, There's a way it must be seen and understood. We do not rule like fallen men rule. Fallen men stamp on their subjects to show dominance or dominion. But in the order of the kingdom, we serve. He that is the greatest is the servant of all. Is the servant. So there's something about the servant that every believer should become. Now, the greatest accomplishment of Christ's message is to make a man a servant. The greatest accomplishment of Christ's message is to turn you and I into servants. Servant is not easy to become. So when you preach a gospel that does not promise a slave that he will become a master, does not promise a servant that he will become a boss, that gospel appears to a fallen man like it's not complete. But when you read all scriptures, there is no place where change of estate was preached. The entire scripture did not preach change of any human estate. Go and read your Bible so that you cannot be confused with anything anybody is saying anywhere. Some people will say when you meet a poor man that you will become rich is good news. It's not good news. Is God, does God want you to be poor? No. But he didn't promise that he'll make you rich in that sense. When you meet a barren woman, that you will have a child is good news. That is not good news. Do you know the issue we have with the matters of following through with the gospel is that salvation was painted in various ways to us. So anything that looks like intervention, we call it salvation. A salvation that will still perish with you did not save you. It's not a salvation. And so we do not want to admit that we had to fulfill a requirement to qualify us for salvation. That you are born again does not mean you have the requirement to access salvation. There is a requirement we all need to access salvation. Does God want to save us? Yes. Is he willing to save us? Yes. Can he save us like we are? No. So God will first send Christ. Everybody say Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God that can make a man qualify to receive salvation. Salvation is not simple. Because salvation, sir, is not that you travel and you didn't die on the road. That is not salvation. Salvation is that you become incorruptible. That you fade not away. That you do not perish. That you were falling short of the glory of God. But now, you have moved up and you can receive the glory of God back. Jesus said, there's a glory I had with you from the beginning. This one you gave me, I've given to them. Give me that one. So a man was made glorious. Psalm 103, verse 19, 20, 21, 22. A man was made glorious and put in an estate in the spirit. But when he fell short of glory. You need to be in glory for you to get glory. Kaya. I say you need to be in glory for you to access glory. The first glory is servant. Brother, the first glory is what? We need to first be brought to the first glory for us to access glory. Glory are two. Because I have man that was in a man in honor and knoweth it not is what? As a beast of the field that perisheth. So a man can be a beast when he is not in honor. In fact, when he's even in honor and does not know, he's a beast. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates. Everybody say gates. Gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? Praise. With what? Praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Verse 5. For the Lord is good and his mercy is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So go back to verse 4. It says, enter into his gates. There's a scripture in Peter, first or second, I'm trying to get my mind across it now, that says, my appear to praise, glory, honor and glory. I think that's first Peter. Thank you. Chapter 1, verse 7. The trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though the gold be tried with fire. The trial of your faith might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to show us the man in honor and knoweth not. So from that verse 7, follow the thought. Praise, honor, glory. Honor is glory. From whence you will get glory. Honor is the glory that leads to glory. Follow me. So a man is in honor and know it not. He can count him as a beast. Word of praise. Go back to Psalm 100 verse 4. Praise is not a song you sing in church. Praise is what you become after being tried with fire. Praise is what you become after being tried. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So when I say come with praise, it means that it is something you bring along. So it's a formation that you have become, that becomes your password, your access through. So Psalm 24, verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting what? So come into his courts or gates. Then courts, he calls them everlasting doors. He calls them gates. So gates are everlasting doors. You must follow me. Gates are what? Everlasting doors. So when he said, come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. So there are courts. Praise is not one of the courts. Honor and glory are the courts. But you are going to come with praise. So show me James chapter 1 verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Stop there. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Now quickly run to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Let us see the patience. And the faith. Besides giving all diligence, add to your faith what, brethren? Virtue, read along with me. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, so hold it. So the faith, the trying of your faith that will work patience is faith plus virtue plus knowledge plus temperance. All of them is the faith that will try to bring patience out. So that faith is not simple. It's not just the first faith. It's faith that has been added to. Follow me. I'm saying what we know. What I say, you know. Where I go, you know. When I will land, you don't know. Are you with me? So the faith in James chapter 1 verse 3. Now go to James chapter 1 verse 3. That they say the trying, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that faith has faith, they have added virtue to it, they have added knowledge to it, they have added temperance. They want to bring it to patience now. They will try it. So the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Are you with me, somebody? I'm talking about the man in honor. The man in honor is a servant. The man in honor is a servant. That man in honor has been tried. You see, a servant, service is where they try what you say you have. Whatever you say Jesus has walked into you, where they try it to know whether it is your own, is service. They will make you a servant. Now, when you say make you a servant, you are the one that will really choose to be a servant, because they will present the options to you. They don't force people. Believe you me, they don't force people. They will present the options and you are free to choose. But you know, the tendency is for you to go and say, we are the kings of the earth. He's made us kings and priests unto our God forever. We have what we seek. We call it forth in the name of Jesus. We declare it and we have it. That thing you are saying, you are missing out on a very big discussion. That thing, that place where you are, is not where they are going to. Because finally, Christ actually, brother, is wisdom and power of God. It's wisdom and power of God. Ahaha. Christ is what, brother? Wisdom and power of God. So Paul said, whom we preach. Thank you, 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Oh, stop there. Because if you go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power. So Christ is the power of God. So is the gospel. Then wisdom of God. What is wisdom of God? Wisdom is cross. So, unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is two things. Is the gospel and the cross. And his cross. If you remove the cross, you will never become a servant. So you are wondering, why is Rembusu laboring on servant? Servant, which kind of church I come today? It's because there's something that he knows, that some people know or and have denied, or they don't know. Do you follow me? Some people know and deny it, or they don't know it at all. Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. If you want to get the true nature of Christ coming out, you will preach Christ, which is gospel, and you preach him with the crucifixion, which is cross. The cross is not a wooden Roman thing. The cross is a wisdom that can embody anything on earth to find expression. So the cross embodied the Roman cross. Is a wisdom in God. That wisdom is used in God to purge the remaining part of flesh, of sin, that is hiding, that Christ can touch. Christ is that finger of God that can write in corners of your heart. That places that have not reached. Has your ear ever itched you? Once your ear becomes smaller than your hand, your small finger, it can't enter your ear again. Go and start doing this. Sir. Go to gym and reduce your size. Because, sir, your small finger must always enter your ear. Put on. In case your own no enter, don't say you need gym. It's very, very simple exercise. Once your small finger no enter your ear again, you need just go and gym. You are already too big. It was created to enter your ear. So Christ has a dimension that can enter difficult places. How many people use their big thumb to enter their ear? Try it in church. Try your ear. How far did he go? No, you just block her. You know the healthier talk again. Are you getting me? But try your small one. Try. Shas Yentaram. Oh my God. There are places. You see, Christ split himself into five. Christ split himself into five expressions. Apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for perfection. Brother, for what? Perfection would imply to reach to places, to administer life to places, crevices, corners that are unusual terrains. And they will come and preach from morning to night in no touch there. If they preach Christ and him crucified, the thing will reach there. The thing will reach there. Christ will touch it, enter. So you see that, Reverend Busui, anytime that he's teaching, it's like he just take one thing with the chuk, do chuk, and say, Oto, buddy. If daddy come and say, I just feel like playing with you today, be ready. He go turn rough play. You be careful. The person go wound though. Don't feel like playing with you. That day when you are going, you'll be sober. Even the day when you don't come play, you sober. You don't come play. Amen. I don't know if we are being blessed this morning. Now, that is Christ. Christ was split into five expressions because the Father wants to administer something. There's something he wants to get from us at the end of the day. And that thing is necessary. If a man will journey to the throne, one of the things they will see inside him is servant. One of the beings around the throne, one of them is servant. So, has God been a servant? Look at Genesis chapter 1 with me. Look at Genesis chapter 1 with me. You look at Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word God created means that God served us. Oh no, you didn't read it like that. It means God created means that God came and served us. Before we even knew that we needed the earth, God was serving us already. God is the greatest servant you can ever describe from scripture. You can never hint from scripture is God. So it's a nature of the throne that they chose to display in creation, to display at redemption, to display for anybody that will journey back to the throne. Every time God related with man, he showed himself as a servant and demanded that the man should also be a servant. So the devil does something. The devil doesn't ever want you and I to embody that nature. He knows that what actually pulled him out of the throne was the day he chose to become a lord and not a local servant. When he said, I will ascend to the sides of the north, I will be as the Most High. He said, for thou hast said in thy heart, Isaiah 14:3, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. A servant doesn't talk that way. A servant doesn't talk like this. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Count the eyes that are there. You will count seven. Go back. Let's count together. Thou hast said in thy heart, what? Number one, I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Then number what? I will be like the Most High. Is that all the eyes there? Okay, five of them. You see a man vaunting himself. A servant doesn't vaunt. Have you seen a servant? A servant doesn't vaunt. Recently, I was talking with single and waiting brethren, and I said to them, if you don't leverage on the artificial intelligence, you are like a boss who employed a junior staff, and the junior staff is a genius, but he doesn't know what to do. It is what you tell him to do, he does. So he comes to work in the morning and say, Oga Motideo, Master, I'm here, I've resumed work, and he sits down. Then you are looking at him, he's looking at you. He can't take initiative by himself. Are you getting me? Then you tell him, I want you to write a mail to so-so-so-so-so. Mr. Johnson does this, reply a mail for so-so-so. And then when he writes, wow. And then you just realize that I was underutilizing this staff all this morning. Okay, do this, he does it. Do that, he does it. Do that, he does it. And at almost you can nearly become redundant as the boss. Now that is AI. I'm describing a servant. He cannot give himself the work. Anything you tell him to do is what he does. He literally has no idea of himself, but he can do so much. Oh, you didn't get me. This servant can do so much, but he will not lift a finger. So what I see my father do, I do. Do you see that? What I see my father do, I do. If he tells me to heal this man, I heal him. He has the power to heal. Oh, he has the power to raise the dead. But his father doesn't tell him to raise the dead, he will not. He will not. So it got to Lazarus, whom he loved. He was there at Bethany. He ate. He has two sisters of Lazarus that were his very good friends. And he went there regularly with all the disciples, and they ate, they enjoyed themselves. And this guy was. But this Jesus will not do anything except the Lord tells him to do it. So your friend Lazarus is sick, nigh unto death. Ignore them, continue preaching. Until he was sure the guy don't die. The father wanted to show forth a glory. Because what I see my father do, I do. So look at his prayer. When he got to the tomb of Lazarus. Quickly run there, John 11. You will see a man that is just lifting up his heart to God. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister, said, okay, he stinketh. Go to the next verse. Jesus said, groaning, go to the next verse. We are not yet there. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of these people which stand by. So you see a man who depended on the Father. I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So if Jesus was doing bra, 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 he could have come and healed Lazarus and denied the people a chance to believe that God sent him. And when he does have spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So this man had a power to do many things, but he will not do it. How many times did Jesus catch a fish and bring money from his mouth? Bible students, how many times? So this man can catch fish and money can come out of the mouth. And we have not been catching fish since. Just imagine that you, holy Pastor Samson, can catch a fish and money can come from the mouth. You know how much we don't cash out? I know Pastor Samson will not tell many people, but you will tell me. Pastor, I get one power just because I don't get to. I say, hey, Pastor, wait till the power. He say, if I just go market now, I didn't know the fish will carry money from out. Eh, Pastor, move first go. Obaja, let's go, Obaja. You only look. Madam, how much is this one? He say, 2,000 naira. Madam, 1,800 now. They bring money. They collect them. Wait till the amount of the fish. Big pass, 1,800. I know, say, Pastor, go tell me. He no go quickly tell Brabola, but I go here. Say, he don't get one power. Go just the cash out. We were when we saw they preach to sins. You could just see, I'm not even talking of you. I said, me and Pastor, will they cash out? So Jesus could make money come out from the mouth of a fish, and he did it only once. Think calm. Guy, you never think. Think calm. Calm down, think calm. He did it only once, and he don't build mansion. He could do that. He still allowed them to come and harass him about tax. You know the incident that led to it. Yeah, you could do that, and they say, and there were times they had no money in the purse. Yeah. And you could do that. So you see a servant. A servant, when God says a man is a servant, it actually means that a man has dropped his will. Let me say this as we go on. Every time they use a statement in scripture, don't assume you know the meaning. Why? Devil, hell, corruption has corrupted every meaning. So when I'm describing servants now, there's a way you are thinking about it. There's something in your mind about servant. David served his generation, but he was on the throne. But he was a servant. So though you are a servant, it doesn't mean you won't ride a car. But the devil said, this servant they are preaching now. This servant they are preaching. This is how they want to useless your life. You won't become anything now. You know he's a liar. He has never told any truth. If he says good morning to you, the time don't change. He don't alter something. He can never be morning. He's a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lie. That is his nature. So when we say cross, you are not seeing cross anymore as wisdom of God. You are see, when you say cross, you are simply thinking of, yeah, cross. Hey, Bamio, they will now nail me. They will now be bleeding. I will now be saying a lie about Samaritanai. Hey, my God. No, the devil has confused the meaning. The cross is the ingredient they bring in to finally liberate you from certain holes of darkness. To finally make you the servant that they want, that Christ can be bold to display before spirits. Is the cross they used to bring that in now? It's the wisdom. So we can preach gospel and not preach it with the ingredient of the cross. Now call the cross salt in your soup. Cook everything in that soup. Don't put salt. You have cooked nothing. Any woman here knows that you cooked nothing. You went to market, you boiled meat, you cut meat, you boiled it, you don't put salt. You cut fish, you don't put salt. You fry this, you don't put salt. You cook your rice, you don't put salt. You fry the tomato, you don't put salt. You mix everything together, and then everything's looking like, wow, let's come and eat it. Then we put everything just in flat. The question is, who made this soup? That is, am I right, sir? That's the question. Who made Jojo Talo Sobeyi? Who made this soup? You wasted resources. Because if I add salt at that point, it doesn't do the job. Oh, no. You didn't get me. After you have filled that in, if I come and sprinkle salt on it, you have not, it doesn't do. How will you enter into the meat? You have wasted resources. Wasted time, wasted resources, wasted the entire process. So without the cross in the gospel, you will never become a servant. The cross is a wisdom. I'm just trying to say that every time the Lord uses a word, the devil already has a meaning in your mind. He has sowed a meaning there, planted a meaning there that will make you to be seeing God as a wicked man. So all of us come to church with a sense that God is not good. Including we that came this morning. Are you getting me? There's a way we are peeping at God. We don't trust him. How can I have to look at him? No, none of us trust God, including the preacher. There's a way we are looking at it that, well, if the service finally goes the way that suits you, I was blessed today. Even the other day, the service didn't go the way you want. You were blessed. Sir, you were blessed. It's just that there's a way you count blessing. There's something you want the preacher to say, then you will say, I was blessed. Because we don't trust God. If God says, I will bless you, you are waiting. He will soon mention the demand I cannot fulfill. Before you say, okay, amen. Amen. I will bless. Amen. I know. Then finally, if God says, I say, hey. He has finally said it. The word that nobody can do. He doesn't really want to bless us. The demand God is putting on this thing. Does he really? Who will do these things? Who will fulfill this demand and then collect the blessing? Nobody. Nobody. I said, God has been blessing people. And God is already blessing you. And God is going to still bless us. Because when God says, I will bless you, it means I will give you a portion of myself. God is the blessed. They call him the blessed, the only potentate, the immortality that dwelleth in the light that no man can approach. I say, if God says you are blessed, sir, he says, I have given you a portion of myself. He has cut a portion of himself and given to you. That is your blessing. Because the blessing really, the blessing is that your nature is changed. A man that is blessed but cannot sit on the throne is cursed. He was never blessed. He was never blessed. Oh, the God, Lord, God has blessed you. God, but after it's all been said and done, we are looking for you around the throne. You are not even in the radius around the throne. Hey, no. That church you attended, they robbed you. They robbed you. God didn't bless you. Though you rode a car, you built houses, you went to real estate, you were a billionaire. But no, you were not blessed. Because when God blesses people, when God blessed Adam, were they using dollar? God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. And God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Is that not blessing? Were they counting dollars those days? So you see that the devil, once he can corner a man to think with him, to the first labor the preacher will do is to first change your meaning and definition so that you can start at least thinking the way God. If God say cross is good, if God say die, the die is good. And there's no definition the devil has given us that can describe God. Because all of the time, his intention is to twist our understanding of God. Do you think you understand me, brethren?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we come to the gospel, every one of us, We like gospel. I say every one of us do what? We like gospel because there's something we have in mind. There's nobody that they got born again that didn't. Everybody, we like gospel. We like God. Frankly, we like God. It's just that we don't trust him, but we like God. Have you ever seen a girl that like a guy but cannot trust a guy? That is who we are. We like God. We don't trust him, rather. We can trust him, but we don't trust him. And somebody did that wicked work. Let me show you how you know that you don't trust God. When God begins to preach doctrine, doctrine is the spelling, the detailed spelling out of your blessing. The step-by-step spelling out of how you will embody your blessing is what they call doctrine. The beings you find in Colossians 2:2 are blessing capsules, bodies of blessing. So when each of them interacts with you, they don't bless you by eating in your house. They bless you by giving you their doctrine. So if Christ has visited a generation, Christ leaves his doctrine with them. That is the way Christ blesses them. When that generation obeys the doctrine, they just realize on the other side of obedience that they have been blessed. Because the doctrine alters our nature. The doctrine changes us through the vehicle of obedience. So doctrine is actually step-by-step detailed instructions of how to embody your blessing. Now, I'll give a very practical example. Now, this child is meant to be a doctor. Are you with me, brethren?
Yes, sir.
It's meant to be what?
A doctor.
But this guy must have to go through secondary school. And part of what he will learn is not literature, government, CROs. Once he's going that way, he's not going to be a doctor.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Once he goes that place, we check his notebook. We see CROs. We see literature. We see government. Most of them cry. So they don't scatter the destiny. Because this guy can never be a doctor. Are you following me?
Yes,
so how do we know that he's following the pathway that can make him a doctor? We will see physics, chemistry, biology. Are you getting me? Mathematics. He has not entered university. But he's on the track.
Yes.
We are just rejoicing. We're now checking his scores. Because this guy can be scoring A, B, A, B in government, literature, CROs, but it's not what where we are going to. Are you getting me? I'm saying doctrine is the detailed script breakdown of how to become the blessed that you should be in God. Now, this guy has to follow it step by step. SS1, SS2, SS3. Then he will bring out the result. 7 A's, 2 B's. Wow! All of us kick out with joy. He's not yet a doctor. We are rejoicing in hope. Are you getting me? Now he does jump. He does jump. He comes at 370. Hey! University, here I come. We are rejoicing. He has not still entered. Then he goes there. He will do many exams, many tests, many classes. Then all that is in hope. He can finish all of that. Did you hear the story of the guy, of the lady in the US or UK, I don't know, that at convocation was dancing so much and they withdrew her diploma certificate? Did you read that news? No, when she was dancing, people say, wow, the university said, oh, but you come. Your dance is too much. You took too much glory to yourself that day. They withdrew you called too much attention to yourself. The honor is not, if you really were schooled, you won't dance like that.
Yes.
There's a way schooling, adjust your mind. That way you are dancing, throwing leg like this. You say, you are not learned. We are not proud to give you our certificate. They took it back. You are wondering, what kind of university is that? That actually, the Western education is to give you a posture. There's something, so that way you are dancing, you study book, but you know learn book. So they took it back. You don't have the character of a learned person. So it's possible that this guy can be following the, and we are all rejoicing on the track. He's on the track. And finally, when he's doing housemanship, he just do one nasty thing for clinic. They say, hey, which university will stand and vouch that they graduate like, and he can waste everything. So, but was he blessed in SS1? In SS3, was he blessed? Jamb, was he blessed? When he did his first, what is it, MBS or what do you call MBBS, was he blessed? Only that finally he now came, that final internship, whatever, housemanship, he just do one thing. They take a case to court. The thing no come out where. University say, we cannot, you don't have the character. But can the guy still do surgery? Talk with me. But without that certificate, he's a quack. He's uncertified doctor. He has all the knowledge. Are you following me? So doctrine, actually, is the detailed layout of how we inherit the blessing. So if I'm obeying, once you start, what do you say about the commandment? He says if you break one of it, you have broken all. So if I start with the doctrine of Christ, the way I am, they seal me in the blessing of the person of Christ, is that I must come to the end. The end of that blessing is a man that is a servant. That is the end of Christ. Why did I say the end of Christ? A servant. The end of Christ is a meek man. He's a servant. He's a servant. So a servant is not just, no, everyone will say servant. Now say that maybe now say I should not go and live to some brethren and be serving them now. And be serving them now. This one that has been servant. They want me to. No, that's not where they are going to. That can be part of it for you. But that's not where the message is primarily going to. There's a nature they want to give to us. Now, when God wants to bless a people, he positions them to acquire his nature. When God wants to bless a man, he positions him to acquire his nature. I'll give you some examples. David came to the priest, Zadok the priest, and do you have bread? They say, nothing there. The only bread here is shoe bread. And you know the criteria. You can't eat it. You must not have slept with women. I say, if you get that scripture, it says women have been kept from us. The arrangement God put them through, no woman there with them. He said, no woman there. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from what? From us. About these 3 days. So we, by the arrangement, we have fulfilled the righteousness. We didn't even know that we can fulfill it. It's the way God arranged our life to fulfill it. And we are, so if Jesus wants to bless me and wants to bless you, he will arrange certain circumstances. But now you and I must abide in the arrangement. The arrangement is to help us take on a posture. Do you know where the conflict is? The conflict is that some of us, the soul nature, our nature is like a bull, not like an ox. Our nature is like a bull, not like an ox. Do you know the difference between a bull and an ox? Do you know the difference? I'll read something for you. An ox is a large domesticated bovine mammal, usually an adult castrated male. Unlike bulls, oxen are trained to pull heavy loads, haul equipments, or plow fields. Castration removes the male bovine's testicles, halting the production of testosterone. For oxen, this sudden drop in hormone dramatically alters their behavior, physical development, and temperament, making them docile, safer to handle, and better suited for heavy draft work. So when you don't circumcise, or when you don't castrate the ox, it becomes a bull. When you don't castrate an ox, what you will get is a bull. When you the same animal, sir. When you castrate it, he will be temperate. You will see him humble. You will now put yoke upon his neck. And you will be plowing with another one. So God does something. He puts us in circumstances, which most of the time our issue is that we refuse to abide in the arrangement. If we abide in the arrangement, we will change. We will change. The arrangement is intended sometimes to castrate us. But some of our souls are so smart as God is arranging it. I see you. Nibo. We quickly arrange our transfer. We move to Lagos. You arrive in Lagos, it will take another 5 years before Pastor Dixon will resign that. Oh. Then they arrange something for you. You say, transfer took me to Port Harcourt. You see the way that soul is going. It will do 40 years. It will not be saved. You won't change basic things. Basic things that your brethren started with. They used to be lao lao. You know lao lao? The way they talk. Ta 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 ta. In 20 years, the way they talk has changed. You will see them, they are more calmer. Their words are more with wisdom. Their thoughts come out with calculation. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? They speak calculatedly. When they talk, everybody wants to listen to them. In 20 years, in the same 20 years, you were jumping from here to there. They give you a microphone, you will talk loud, loud. The gospel has not altered. Simple thing like that. You see, that one that we are seeing is just an example, because other things that we have not seen are still there. They are still there. They are still there. They are still there. A situation happened recently, and I had a chance to see a display of what I just said to us. This is a guy that we knew from back in the days, and this situation came up, and they gave him a microphone. And when he spoke like back in the days. Back in the days, I'm talking of, is 2005. After all these years, empty, dry, cracking joke where jokes should not be cracked, a solemn meeting. What can create that? That you didn't comply with the program for change. Many of us, we will see the arrangement to castrate us. Not be circumcised or castrate. Come out one testicle to where I am. I will read it again. He said the castration removes a male bovine's testicles, halting the production of testosterone. For oxen, this sudden drop in hormone drastically alters their behavior. It drastically alters their behavior. You see this guy in 2 years, he appeared like he went to University of Change. Something just altered about the guy. He allowed the Lord to put him in a situation that castrated certain things of his life. Jesus can bless any man. Jesus can change any man. But are we willing to stay in the arrangement that Jesus provides? Are we sure we are not wiser than the high priest? Because every time we show that we are wiser than the high priest, then we should be our own savior. That's the implication. You are wiser, be save yourself. Save yourself. But we need to accept that we can't save ourselves. The way we behave, our father behaved like that. Our mothers behave like that. Our grandparents behave like that. When they trace us in our community, that is the way they know us. After 20 years of following Jesus, should you still be traceable to that path? Is it not a shame that we are still in that arrangement? May God help us. Because God doesn't do magic. He preaches. And I am perceiving that one thing that will crown this particular season that came on us after life campaign, okay, is that certain arrangements will be brought, altered around us, made around us. Certain things will be touched around us. Actually for our blessing, but we can rebel. We can be a bull and not an ox. Have you ever seen them do sports with bull? No, those sports that they jump over the bull and they hold red something. And you see how that animal is charging. Can you believe that the difference between it and the ox is castration? You can't think it. I will read some things to you. Behavioral and temperamental changes. Docile. The animal loses its natural male aggression and territorial drive. That thing that wants it to govern space, govern. He loses it. Just castration, sir. They don't give a mineral injection. This calmness makes them much easier to train. Many souls cannot be trained because they are not calm. May Jesus circumcise us again. May Jesus actually castrate us.
Amen.
Castrate will mean to take a portion of our former self, cut it off. Cut off a very vital part that connects us to our genetic origin, our lineage. Jesus should put scissors there and chop it off. This calmness makes them much easier to train, much easier to handle, much easier to command. Much easier for them to stay in a team. I'm reading what internet showed me. Easier for them to stay in a team. Second thing, focus. Intact males, which are bulls, are easily distracted and tend to be unpredictable. Easily distracted, tend to be unpredictable. But castrated males focus better on their task, such as plowing and pulling carts. You are wondering why this thing just do me blah blah for my eye. We should be castrated. Something in me should be cut off. And Jesus doesn't bring scissors like that. He will arrange. Go and stay with Brother Bola. And you go and stay at Brother Bola's place. You like when you came on Sunday, the way they gave you rice? You ate? You can always come, there's food. You come again. But you know that what Jesus said is you go and live there. Next Sunday you go. You fetch water, you eat food, you go home. The next Sunday you go. You sweep compound, you eat food, you go. You are not doing the... But you see, you are having a feeling like you are obeying. The instruction is pack your bag and go and live in Brabola's house. Because when you pack your bag and go and live, they will not just be giving you rice. You will cook the rice. You will go to the market. You will price the tomato. You will bring it back with humbleness of heart. You will cook it. If you don't cook it well, they will yab you. But that one, you are coming on Sunday, you will eat a rice that they have gone to market, cook the tomato, fry it very well, they will put on your table. Jesus is not the same. Though you swept the compound.
Yes,
it's not the same thing. It is this other one that will really, really castrate you.
Hey!
This other one, you are managing the cross. You are using sense to package the cross. Take up your cross and follow me. That is the way we have managed death with us.
In your pam pam pa, ebeke ke oga gaga to peke ko peke keka osike ko teke to.
Eliam restafopia prendo shikabondomo, for I'm bringing unto you even the grace and the mercy of the season, that you might be able to learn unto fruiting. Yes, there's a wisdom, there's an attitude. There's a wisdom, there's an attitude to learn till you can abide in the learning. And your fruiting will appear even in the learning. For you must not be like Lot, who cannot journey unto the mountains. Who cannot journey unto the mountains. For you must not be like Lot, who can journey unto the mountains, but take two steps and take another step backward. Because of the heart, because of the posture of the heart, that despises even the blessing, that despises even the blessing. I bring unto you today even the mercy to circumcise your heart, that you may not be able to turn away from the blessing. I bring unto you mercy to stay in the blessing, to stay in the arrangement, to stay in the arrangement, for the arrangement is your blessing. For the arrangement is your blessing. For many have stepped out of the arrangement. Even Lot left the arrangement. Even Lot left the arrangement. He left the arrangement. He strived even with the arrangement. And so he pitched even his tent with Sodom. He pitched his tent with Sodom. And at the end of the day, his generation was never blessed. Even if he was a righteous man, even his generation was never blessed because he pitched his tent away from the arrangement. Stay in the arrangement and blessing will rest upon you. See, you are the Spirit of God.
Amen. The blessing is in the process. Is in the process. Every time we skip the process, we skip the blessing. So God's servant would say, I may not appear in your wedding, on your wedding day, but you are already blessed if you followed the process. If daddy was there, daddy would have prayed for us and spoken in tongue. No, you are blessed. What blesses you is the process. What is the process? Laid out instructions that you must obey. Then blessing will rest on you. Now I will explain something at this point. When you say a father blesses you, he lays down a demand for you to do, fulfill. You can come and take, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. If you didn't fulfill that demand, you won't take, the blessing will not rest. Because in that process, that demand, that is where they work in you, the template that can carry the blessing. The template of heart that can carry the blessing is actually an integral part of the blessing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's part of the blessing. So for you to want them to lay hands on you, you fall down, you stand up, you say you are blessed. If you don't have the template, the blessing will drop off. You will soon do something that will make the blessing not to stay with you. So the process. So when you see the gospel displays before us instructions of righteousness, expectations of righteousness, that we should obey one step after the other, one step after the other. You can know when you are doing well in the spirit. A man can know that he's doing well. You can also know when you are disobedient, when you are heady, stubborn, and reprobate. You can know. How do I now know where I am now? You will know. Because instructions are laid out. Simple instructions like wake up 5 o'clock and pray. And 6 months you have joined this assembly and you can't still wake up 5 o'clock and pray. You don't know that there's something wrong with you. No, I'm not talking of somebody who has been here 5 years. 6 months. You have been, and they say every morning, from Monday to Thursday, we wake up and pray. You will sleep till 6 a.m. That 1 hour sleep, if they remove it from your life, are you sure you will really die? You know you're not going to die. But what is disobeying that 1 hour? It's not that you are tired. It's a frame that you have not beaten to shape. You have not beaten that frame. We pray. We pray. Start praying and be dozing. Stand up, pace around, and sleep and pray half. You are praying. It's easier to start praying than to not to pray at all. When I can start, it's easier that I will soon pick up and pray the 1 hour finish. If I have not started, there's no hope that I will pray the 1 hour. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And then somebody's the one leading the prayer. Just give the prayer point, you pray. In between them, play music. But how do people grow in the spirit? We're just doing it together. We're just going together. We're just going together. Then you realize that issue you were thinking of has been solved. Ah, thank God though. I didn't even know. That one has been resolved.
Another one has been resolved. Recently, the Lord said to me, many of the prayer points people raise is because they are out of sync with me. When you are in alignment with me, you don't need to pray some prayers. You don't need to pray some prayers. I'll give you a very good example. Show me the scripture. I think I visited Brola and I was reading that scripture. He said that your prayers be not hindered. He was talking to a husband or his wife. That your prayers be not hindered. So that your prayer there is your desire of your heart. Are you getting me? The desire of your heart. Did you get it? Thank you. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. According to knowledge. But you see, you need a whole lot of wisdom to dwell with them according to knowledge. You need a whole lot of learning. Giving honor unto the wife. So this brother has been in church and has learned to honor all men, has learned to submit one to another, has learned to honor brethren. Then he is now married. He can now give honor to wife as unto a weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. So you are not a better child of God than she is. Two of us now child of God. That what? All of this is that your prayers be not hindered. So if I am doing this, I may not really need to add fasting for a prayer to be answered. But you know, man, we will rather go and fast. We would rather go on the mountain than to love our wife. You didn't get what I said. It looks so simple. It's simple, but you are not doing it because it's not simple. It looks negligible. It's negligible, but it's preventing the answer to your prayers. Then it is mighty. It's already a mountain. So when you go to the mountain and say, let every mountain, this mountain shall be removed. The mountain is actually this one. If you move this mountain, your prayers will not be hindered. You will pray beside your bed and you look as if the throne is beside your house. I don't know if you got what I'm trying to say. Scriptures. So the Lord was saying to me that if you actually align with the doctrines of the three beings, are to make us align perfectly with God. We don't know how disaligned we are. We don't know what the devil did to our fathers and how it affected us. We are too far from alignment. Have you driven a car that for you to get it straight, you hold the hand like this? If the hand is like this, the leg will be like this. For the legs to be straight, you will turn the steering like this. Have they ever carried you inside such a car? They've carried me many cars. Between Ondo and Akure, they've carried me many cars, sir. All manner. That when you enter, you say, Lord Jesus, please let me arrive in peace. The driver is the only one that knows how that car can work. Because if you put the car normal, it will be going like this. I say we are disaligned. And obeying doctrine is the only way that they can beat us back to alignment. It's the only way. Christ is the first doctrine given to us to bring us back. Those days, we did geography. And if you do a little of the geography and you do longitude and latitude, you will know, you will understand that when you are disaligned, sir, you are disaligned. You see that narrow, that tiny tilts. By the time we get to the end of the paper, you know that map reading we are doing. By the time we get to the end of that map, now wide gap. It's just one tiny thing. By the time we are following it, I know you use your what's it called? Is it your compass now? Sometimes we even use thread. Are you getting me? You put the thread here and you, by the time you pull them, you know near. You are far already from destination. What they call disalignment in the spirit, if we know it, we'll be praying, give me grace to obey Christ. Give me grace to obey Christ. Christ is burdensome for us because we don't know what we gain. You know, I've realized also that the soul always look at what do I gain at the end of the process. And that is why the preachers preach. It's an integral part of the preaching. Why? When the devil preached to Eve, go back to Genesis chapter 3 and see how he preached it. He will preach it until you see, preach you to what you gain.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You will die, but not like that. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof. Now this is what you gain. In the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So there's something in a man. If he doesn't see what he gains, he doesn't go for it. Verse 6. And when the woman saw what she will gain when she eats the tree, the fruit of the tree, she took it and she ate it. That is verse 6. Are you getting me? So every time the preachers preach, they teach us what we are going. The gospel is to tilt us back, align us back. There are many things we are praying about that is not a prayer point. It's not a prayer point. Daddy was reading this scripture. The earth will answer Jezreel. The corn will answer Jezreel. We answer the earth. The earth, show me that scripture. Hosea 2, so verse 21. Hosea 2:21, and it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. So if Jezreel is aligned with the heavens, all these other things will not be a prayer point. Did you hear what I said? If Jezreel will be aligned to the heavens, he doesn't need to pray too many prayers. So my prayer and your prayer is that the Lord will give us grace to align to the heavens. Yeah. When we say align to the heavens, it's a bogus prayer. That the Lord will give us grace to obey all the doctrines of Christ. Do you get what I just said? When you still say all the doctrines of Christ, is a bogus prayer. We will pick it by revelation as it comes. The emphasis of the Lord with us now is that the Lord will grant me meekness of heart. The Lord will grant me postures of humble humility. The Lord will change my heart and help my nature to align easily. Let my heart easily lie with the gospel. Let me not find grace, strength to bull at the truth. You will now start to pray the prayer one by one. You see that prayer? A man can't pray that prayer for 10 years and still be small. It's not possible. A man can't pray that prayer 10 years and be small. Will he become Aliko Dangote? No, that's not the emphasis. But you will get to a point that you will know that the heavens has answered the earth. Jesus could be the richest man, but by his dyings, many dyings, he doesn't need them. It will just be like that. Now your son will feel like, daddy get power now. May daddy just command one car come. Daddy go see, say, mo will carry this Benz, is okay. Mo carry on the contract, it's okay. Daddy can buy two cars now. Why is he using one? The Lord will help our hearts. I'm not done reading. I said the focus is another thing that is tampered with. The focus of the oxen. Because it has been what? Castrated. So I said, intact males which abuse are easily distracted and tend to be unpredictable, volatile. They tend to be what? Volatile. Anger, temperament is not tempered. While castrated males focus better on their task. So you see that castration, we need it early. Such as plowing and pulling their cars. Now look at safety. Safety. Just one castration. Castrated males pose significantly less danger to handlers. You won't pose trouble to your pastors. Yeah, you know, your pastor, your case is not the case they discuss all the time. You just thought, this should not happen again. Then you take a posture. They pose significantly less danger to farmers. They pose significantly less danger to other livestock. So your brethren will even know that they have castrated you. When you meet them, you are gentle. You are not abrasive. You are not a yab master. Of all the shirts waiting, now this one you can't see wear now. Even your shoes, self. Hey, now wow. Even your haircut, go. Now wow. Your earring too. Now wow. When you are done with your sister, your brother, you just feel like making no come church. Me just go back house. Harsh. Not gracious with words. I feel it brings us to a place where we all really need to trust Jesus. I don't know how you feel about these things, but for me, I feel I really need to go back and pray again and trust Jesus, because there's wisdom in the gospel to make a man into these things. Now, I got surprised that even physical development of the bull, of the oxen, is tampered with because it's castrated. I read a few things. Body shape. That castration prevents the animal from developing the thick muscular neck. That thing you find in the bull with the charge. That one won't have it. Heavy shoulders and crest that's typical of an intact bull. It won't have it. Instead, they grow into larger, leaner, and more uniformly structured animal suited for load. So you see their shoulder. You will see their neck. Because where do they put the yoke on? Have you ever seen a bull that they use for that game? Show me neck. His neck and his shoulder is one. This is how it is. Am I talking to people? Have you ever watched that game I'm describing? The neck and the shoulder. You don't get shoulder. So when they castrate this guy, he will develop shoulder. And he will have strength in his arm. But will have shoulder that they can yoke. So we can't bear certain yoke of the Lord because we have not been tampered with in a manner. At the beginning, I said, what does that tampering? Is the cross. If we remove the cross, all of us can be speaking grammar without the power of the gospel. There's a power that is from the cross. You know what I said? If you remove the cross, all of us, there with a young revelation, our life will not show that the Lord has met us. May Jesus bless us. There are certain natures in us that should be killed. And they can't be killed like that, except Jesus really comes in and tampers with us. Are we willing to allow Jesus to really touch us? My desire is that the Lord will help us to master, to gain mastery of those postures that allow mercy to easily reach us. There are postures that allow mercy to easily reach a man. That when you are praying, heaven, it says he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So there's already a posture that the Lord resists. And on Wednesday, God's servant was saying to us that you can't pray is pride. That thing that makes you not to pray is pride. So you are doing wishful thinking all the time. And men are the ones caught in that web. We know they pray. I wish God would just make God just do us better. If God just... I wish, he has not prayed. A woman easily prays. Before you don't kneel down, if we mention the chicken at the back of the house, Lord, this chicken, I gave them drug yesterday, they are not still responding. If the chicken died, the man will not be happy, but he will not pray about it. I don't need to get what I'm saying. You carry money, go put fish for water. You don't see that money you put for inside water. And you don't pray about the fish inside water. You are a bad businessman. Because the fish can die and your money will go. So that thing that makes you put fish inside water, they train them. And your money they there, and you know they pray, is pride. It's the same thing now with the woman that is training chicken and feeding them and trusting God that they will not die. One flu will not just come and kill all of them, all by 500 chicken and leave me with nothing. But you see a man will not pray. He will just be hoping that God just bless me like this. This fish just, this 1,000 of them, he's already calculating. He's always the calculator. He will carry the fish, he go weigh them. I don't want them to want 1 kg. 1 kg now is like 5,000 per one. Fresh. 5,000 per one. I bought it. How much I don't spend now? At the end of the training, at least, I thought 2 million come out for this business. 2 million. He's not praying, no. He's not praying. God's servant said on Wednesday, that thing is pride. Can you tell your neighbor, when I don't pray, is a sign that I am proud. So casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. We will not agree. Oh. Can we take postures? Then sometimes, learn to kneel down when you pray. Now we sit down, cross-legged, I receive it. Shakama kutani, it comes. It comes. It's done. It's done. Learn to kneel down beside your chair. Now so we from start. Abby, yes, kneel down in your room. Kneel down and pray. Jesus, help me. This anger won't kill me. If you know, deliver me from this anger. Now go stop. Finish me last. I've learned that there's no prayer Jesus answers faster than a prayer done with meekness and humility of heart. He said, if my people will humble themselves and pray, not if my people will pray. So my people can pray without humility. Yeah. Hey, I know my God. God will answer prayer. God, the God that I serve, the Jesus that I know. Command it, speak it, say it, he will do it. Is he your boy? Better kneel down and beg him. He said, no, we are a king. We are a king's kid. All of those orientation, now Satan. Now Satan, when they introduce a bit of cross to you, you will understand, now Satan. You see, when a child is vaunting without wisdom, it's like a believer who has revelation without a cross. You'll be saying many things that are not realistic in the spirit. So how many of those prayers have been answered? A man said, if you kneel down and you are praying, and Pastor E.E. Adeboye kneels down beside you and is praying, who will God answer first? The auditorium went quiet. The man said, see you now. You are scared that God will not hear your own prayer. But do you know why God will answer him first? He has mastered the act that approaches God with meekness and brokenness. You will kneel down there like that other man praying. Is that Pharisee or what? That prayer. You know, I'm not like that man. We, the children of Abraham, we know that salvation is of the Jews. Not like this Gentile man who stumbled into the temple of God. Maybe if you like, hear him. But I know I'm already heard. Jesus said, you go house. They don't go answer your prayer. No, because. So there are postures that down to we praying, we should learn to beat ourselves to shape. These things we are saying, sir, it's not you will start tomorrow, you will start immediately. We will start immediately. We will start. Jesus wants to see a heart that is a servant. That no matter what they put in your custody, you just know it's like a laser had the chance to collect how many camel he wants. Have you looked at what he gave to Rebecca? Open that place for me. That is 24. Just look at the gold. And he chose it by himself. If that guy chose to run away with that gold, he can be a rich man. It doesn't matter what they put in your custody. It doesn't move you. You are a servant. You are a servant. Let me now come here and be saying that what I'm saying is from me. No, everything I'm saying, I learned from Reverend Busui. Am I right? I'm only putting us in remembrance of the things that we have been told. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave to Rebekah. And also to his brother. He also brought for the brother. And also to the mother, precious things. Abraham didn't pack. He had access to everything. Jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiments. He had everything he needed. He took it. That a servant can have all the money and still be a servant. Can even have an entire kingdom. And heaven can still say, David served his generation. Not himself, not his household. May God bring us to that place where brokenness is not far from us. Where our hearts are easily malleable. Yes, easily texturized. We are so tender, so tender, so tender. We are not abrasive. That before the throne, heaven can look at us and easily have mercy on us. The way many of us pray, mercy, it doesn't commend for mercy. Some of our approach, our language of prayer, for many people, doesn't commend mercy. We don't take a posture of a man who is asking for mercy. That's the way we pray. We don't pray like we really need God to do it. If possible, we can commandeer God. One of your angels should just come. There's only one angel I need you to send. Just send one angel. If you just send one angel, this is not a problem for you. I don't bother to come. Elohim, why should you come? Just send one angel. As if they are, now you get the angel. The angel, now your middle name, then take Kratom. When you hear church folks pray, you know that meekness is far from us. Humility of heart is far from us. And back and forth, we have influences of that affecting us. The way we see ourselves, the way we relate with ourselves. If I'm opportune to have a better paying job, it doesn't mean I'm brilliant than you. It doesn't mean I'm more brilliant. If it happens that I read and remember, what have I got that I was not given? I read and I remembered, and so I came out of the first class. You sure say if they flip the coin the other way, I go school. You understand when I talk? May just turn the coin from left to right. You sure say you go school. You will be a carpenter at all. The way we relate with artisans, like they are a human being. The man is older than you, go to see call you a guy, and you know go just, daddy now, daddy that money, person will be your papa age mate. They call you daddy because you employ him as a bricklayer. And you don't still feel that there's need for you to be humble. Or you think that the Lord of Sabaoth does not see that dealings. He doesn't look at how people deal with laborers. He's the one that is in charge of that. There's a person in the Godhead that sees that. Labor law. He supervises labor law. May God give us wisdom. As we journey with Jesus, he wants to bless us. But blessing is laid on natures. Blessing is laid on formations. That Jesus will grant us grace to take on heart postures that can allow blessing to sit. Can we bow our heads and pray? Can we bow our heads and pray? The Lord wants to bless us, but the blessing will not just come on emptiness, on nothing. No. The blessing will come when natures have been formed in us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. This is our prayer today. This is our prayer today, that we will maximize this season. There's a reason for this season. There's something Jesus wants to do in this season, that he led our father back since April. He has been weeding on that matter, weeding on that matter, weeding on that matter. He wants to really bless us. The Lord wants to really bless us. The Lord wants to really bless us. But he cannot put blessing on nothing. No man builds a house on nothing. He wants to put blessing on nature, that the Lord will tamper with our frame. Jesus, please tamper with our frame. Yes, touch my frame. Touch my frame. Touch my frame. Castrate me in the places where I should be cut deep. Cut me deep. Let me not remain the same. Let me not have come to church this long time, not have adjusted to the postures that can now allow blessing to rest. Help me. Help me. Help my heart. Help my heart, oh God. Make my heart true. Make my heart true. From inside out, let me be true. From inside out, let me be true. Let me be made true. Let me be made true. That when my father's house see me, they will know that I am another man. They will say, go from us, you are not one of us. because I have aligned so well to the will of God that my nature, my frame has been tampered with. My person has been altered. My visage, my approach to life, the way I handle issues has been tampered with. Jesus, make me that kind of man. Make me that kind of man that blessing can sit on. The man that obeys process. That obeys process. Jesus said to John the Baptist, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. We must not skip any of the process. Help me to be that man that obeys due process, that follows, always looking out for the standards of righteousness, exalted standards of righteousness, whether they be high or low, fulfilling all righteousness, that I will find grace. I will find grace. I will come to that place where my heart is enabled to do all that pleases God. All that pleases God. That when it's all been said and done, men will look at me, heaven will look at me and say, indeed, you have done well. You have done well. You have done well. The blessing can rest on you. That in no distant time from now, men will call us blessed. Heaven will say you deserve to be blessed in the name of Jesus, because we have been enabled to obey, to obey, to obey, to do, to do, to do. Take away rebellion from my heart. Take away rebellion from us. Take away rebellion, that spirit, that energy from death, from hell, that makes me go my way, do my things, bulldoze against my brethren, or push them away to have my way. Take it away. Take it away. Make me another man. Make me another man. Make me another man. Change my nature. Make me another man. Make me another man. Raise me up. Thank you, everlasting Father. Because life is come. Light is come. The essence of light is to guide our walk. Let my feet be guided. Let my feet be guided. Guide me in the way everlasting. Lead 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 me in the way everlasting. In the name of Jesus. Lead me in the way everlasting. This is why I came to church. I came to look for the blessing and the mercy that I cannot get from the earth, that only comes from above. Let it rest upon me. Let it come upon nature. Let it come upon us. Let us develop the nature that this blessing can rest upon. Thank you, everlasting Father.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.